Congratulations to Paul Swan, host of The Drive, for capturing the prestigious 2024 West Virginia Broadcasters Association Excellence in Broadcasting Award for Best Talk Show. Tune in to Paul during your drive home weekdays at 5:06 p.m. on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930 present The Drive.
We're back and ready to go on this Good Friday. Welcome in. It is The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. I'm your host, Paul Swan. Thanks for being a part of our little drive home today. We'll get your text in this hour, 304-396-TALK. That's 304-396-8255. Yesterday, not with you, unfortunately. We had baseball opening day yesterday. It was successful for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Went into 12 innings, and the Pirates got the Marlins 6-5. So the Pirates are off to a great start. They're going to win them all and win the National League and then go to the World Series, right? Already planning that. The Reds won two, by the way, 8-2 over the Nationals. So good start for all the local teams and baseball. And we'll have Pirates baseball coming up starting next week because we've got the final four to get ready for. And to do so, we got to play some games tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday. Big question is, how is your bracket after yesterday's games? And, of course, UConn getting the win over San Diego State, 82-52. I expected that. I had Iowa State. Illinois won that one, 72-69. Didn't damage my bracket. Alabama beating North Carolina. Believe it or not, even though I had North Carolina in the Final Four, Alabama with that win, not a shocker. Alabama's been playing some really good basketball as of late, beat North Carolina, didn't damage my bracket, and actually Clemson did me a favor by beating Arizona 77-72. Had Baylor in that spot. And so Arizona getting eliminated, that kind of kept others from getting ahead of me. I'm number one in my office pool right now. How are you doing in your pool? I'm sitting there at number one. I'm tied with Jason Toy. We have both the potential of being tied at the very end. I think our brackets at this point mirror each other. So it's going to come down to the tiebreaker. And then, believe it or not, we've got people who sit and watch basketball all year long, all season long. And they, if you look at our brackets, some of the people that are self-professed basketball enthusiasts are sitting close to the very bottom of our bracket. And is that where you're at right now? You know basketball. The more you know, maybe the lower you are in the bracket. And I bring this up because we have somebody on our staff. Their bracket's busted, by the way. They have Arizona and Kentucky in the national championship game. Their bracket is busted. And this individual was upset that we let one of the children in the office. We have a young player in third place. And there were some protests going on. Like, why are we letting him play? I'm not turning him down. I'm going to work for him one day. I'm not going to turn him down. He wants to play in our bracket. He can play. And so we put his bracket in, and he's third place right now. Do you have someone in that bracket that they just pick the games and they're kicking you all over the place? Is that where your bracket's at right now? So I'm kind of curious. We got games coming up tonight right here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. South Region in Dallas, it's NC State versus Marquette. Duke will take on Houston. Midwest region in Detroit, Purdue versus Gonzaga tonight, and then Creighton taking on Tennessee. And our March Madness coverage brought to you by Doghouse Beer Garden. We'll have all the games right here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. So we'll get the text line open up this hour. And again, we do that 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. We're a couple of days removed now from the start of spring ball. at Joan C. Edwards Stadium. Also, we're a few days removed from the announcement that Dan D'Antoni would no longer be the head coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd. Have we calmed down on this? Where are we at? Are we okay that Marshall's moving on? Are we okay with the decision? And, of course, there hasn't been a formal introduction yet of Cornelius Jackson as the new head coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd. We're still waiting on that. And I'm sure there are reasons for that that I'm not ready to get into just yet, that there are reasons for all of that. But that'll come soon. He'll be the new coach. And then I see where JMU has made a hire today. There were a lot of people chattering. Doesn't matter what social media feed you're on. But if you follow certain groups of people, there were a lot of people chattering about, well, Marshall should have done a search. Marshall should have done a search. And A.W. Hamilton's name came up. Now, I don't know if A.W. is ready to be the head coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd just yet. Good coach, former player. I have nothing against him. Not sure if he's ready just yet to be the next head coach of the Thundering Herd. And then JMU making a hire, hiring Morehead State's Preston Spradling. So JMU hiring a coach, what, an hour or so driving time away from Huntington? It's a good move if you're Preston Spradling. It's a good move. Morehead State, he's had some success there, doing some good things with that program. JMU affords him more resources. And I don't know right now if the JMU job would be, you know, it's not a major Power 5, whatever you want to call that, job. But JMU is definitely probably going to be a better job right now, resource-wise, than Marshall is. I mean, let's just face facts. You know, they've got a new arena. They've got a lot of success happening within their program. They're putting it all together. They've been preparing for the move for years to jump up. So they've got everything in place right now, and they're looking to be a little bit more forward-thinking compared to a lot of schools in the Sun Belt. So I don't know if, you know, Marshall might have to rehabilitate its image in men's basketball a little bit more right now, because I don't know if, and we won't know this for a while, at least, I don't know. There wasn't a national search committed. There wasn't a national search to go look for a new basketball coach. And that's not an indictment on Cornelius Jackson, and I'm not trying to imply it so, but, you know, Marshall didn't go outside looking for a new basketball coach. And so you don't know what kind of interest that the program would have attracted. You mean maybe Marshall's a lot more attractive of a program than I'm giving it credit for right now. And I'm speaking based off of the recent success that the basketball program has suffered, or lack of success, or enjoyed. It's not good right now. Marshall basketball is not what it once was. And, of course, yeah, there is the argument that Dan D'Antoni is the only coach to lead the Marshall men's basketball team to a victory in the NCAA tournament, and that is a great fact. He is the only coach to lead them to a victory in the NCAA tournament. Marshall hasn't had many opportunities to get to the tournament. Most of those happened before some of you were even born. So Marshall gets to the NCAA tournament, wins a game, and, you know, that's a nice thing to have, to hang on to, and you can hold your head high that, hey, you did something really cool for Marshall several years ago. But that's just one thing. That's one achievement, one accomplishment. You won the tournament 1 year, and outside of that, you haven't won a regular season championship in several years. You haven't won a conference championship in forever. So, not much progress happening there for the basketball program. And that hasn't been just a Dan D'Antoni issue. It was a Tom Herrien issue. That was a Dunny Jones issue. That was an issue after Rick Huckabee up until Dan's getting them back into the NCAA tournament for that 1 year. So that's a Marshall issue right now. So the prestige of Marshall basketball from the 80s, it's long gone right now. So I don't know what this program might look like as far as an opportunity for a coach coming up wanting to either take the opportunity to try to build something and then move to the next school, or something that maybe a coach thinks they can really sink their teeth into and turn it into something special. I won't know for a while. You won't either, because there wasn't a search at least conducted nationally. Or if there was, and Cornelius Jackson was the man, you know, there wasn't a search. Dan D'Antoni is out. Cornelius Jackson's in. We'll see where the program goes. But that's where we're at right now, turning our attention to football. We're about 1 week into it now. When we continue, I've got something you haven't heard. I had a chance to, a few days ago, talk to several assistant coaches, and one of them was secondaries coach Bob Shoup. I like Bob. Good conversation with him. So I thought about just giving you parts of it, but I decided, you know, I just kind of want you to get a vibe for what he's about, a feel for him. So I'm going to give you the interview I had with him. And really, I wasn't intending it to be radio ready just at that time when I was just talking to him. I just want to get a feel for it. But I'm going to let you hear it all. So you haven't heard this before. This isn't anywhere else. It's a conversation I had, and it's unedited, with secondaries coach Bob Shoup. We'll do that when we continue. Also, make time for your text. 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. We'll get into everything that's happening today. Marshall softball already on the mound. We'll talk about that. Baseball in action as well. All of that coming up. We'll talk about it when we continue with today's edition of The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
This is The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Welcome back to our Friday edition of the show. I'm your host, Paul Swan. This is ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. Our text line this hour is going to be 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. Let's go to our text line. Texter writes in and says, Paul, there is no way that Morehead State should have a better men's basketball program than Marshall. There has to be a lot of change and improvement, but I am rooting for Corny to turn this thing around. I appreciate that. I agree. I think a lot of people are upset. And again, this is all anecdotal. None of this is the gospel. There's not one single definitive viewpoint out here right now. We're not in agreement on anything. We all have our opinions. That's fair. If Marshall is to elevate the basketball program, some think that a national search, bring in some fresh blood, would have been the thing to do. Others like the fact that Cornelius Jackson is someone who has ties to the program and might not be exactly Dan D'Antoni, but could be a better way to transition into the next phase of Marshall basketball. There is some continuity, but at the same time, Cornelius is going to do things his own way. He's played the game more recently than Dan, obviously. You know, he might be able to go after players in the transfer portal now that he has a free hand to do so that he couldn't do before, because Dan had his philosophy and his style and the way he wanted to do things. Coach Jackson's going to have his style, his philosophy, the way he wants to do things. So there's not a single correct way to look at this right now, because we all have our opinions. I mean, there are some who think that Marshall did Dan dirty. There are some that think that he's an icon and, you know, should have had another year to get it going. And there are a lot of people who just want to disconnect from him as the basketball coach. He's a beloved figure. We love him. Think the world of him. We just don't want you running our basketball program anymore. And I think those things can be true. We can be all of these things at the same time. Unfortunately, basketball is taking a downturn, and now it's up to Coach Jackson to try to see what he can do with it. And I think we're all going to be rooting for him. I don't think there's anyone that's going to turn their back on Marshall basketball because Dan got let go and Cornelius Jackson is now the new head coach. Am I wrong? I'm not going to stop watching Marshall basketball because, well, Coach Dan's gone, so I'm not on board with this anymore. It happens all the time. Players leave. Marshall parts ways with players. Players leave the university. I mean, what's the difference between bringing someone in from a different school out of the transfer portal and bringing them in or wanting a player to maybe not be on the roster anymore? Think about that. These are just all transactional actions right now. And you do want Dan to be successful. Unfortunately, he wasn't over a stretch. And so he's no longer the coach. Cornelius Jackson named the coach in the release. We'll see what happens here in the future. 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. And to your point, as far as Morehead State shouldn't have a better basketball program, I think it's a testament to Morehead State that it competes in a league that is considered not as strong as what Marshall has been in the past. That's fair, but it's competitive. I think coaching has a big part of what their program is all about. The financing is not necessarily there compared to Marshall. And Marshall should be more successful than a lot of programs. Should be, isn't. And where is the problem? Is it the finances? Is it the structure of the program? Is it the culture of the program? You know, is it something else? Marshall's not able to adapt to the transfer portal. Marshall's not able to attract the right players. Marshall's not putting out a good product, so nobody wants to come and support this. What's the disconnect right now? I think it's a little bit of everything. You see pockets of success for the Thundering Herd, and you think to yourself, okay, well, why is Kim Caldwell successful in her first year where Marshall men's basketball hasn't been successful? Same facilities, same location. I mean, the Henderson Center is the Henderson Center. All of the facilities are the same. Women's basketball might have nicer offices. They are overlooking the Henderson Center. What the men have, the women have. What the women have, the men have. I think that's pretty fair. Same access to training, same access to facilities. What's the difference? If the women's program can be successful, why can't the men's program be successful? And I think that's the big question. You know, what's the problem? What's the disconnect? Why, you know, has the men's program backslid, and how do you fix it? And so that's going to be up to Cornelius Jackson to figure out, okay, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And it is not fair to compare women's basketball to men's basketball. It is apples and oranges as far as the coaching staffs and the philosophies and the culture. Coach Caldwell has a unique style, and you have to gear up for it. And she came in with mostly athletes that were not of her own recruitment efforts. She did not recruit most of this team and was able to produce success. Wait till she's able to put together a team that is more aligned with what she's looking to achieve, and it should be a real fun ride for women's basketball. 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. When we continue, I went ahead and take the break now because when we come back, I've got an interview that I want to get to, and I don't want to rush the rest of the way. So we'll get our break in now, and when we continue, I've got an interview, pretty much a conversation. It wasn't as formal as an interview might be, but it's a conversation with Marshall secondary coach Bob Shoup. We'll talk to him when we come back. This is The Drive, ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
This is The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Welcome back. It's the Friday edition of The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. I'm your host, Paul Swan. Our text line this hour is 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. We've been talking a little bit about Marshall basketball. Thundering Herd naming Cornelius Jackson as the new head coach a few days ago after Dan D'Antoni was relieved of his obligation to be the head coach. It's a polite way to put it. The Thundering Herd trying to get back to winning, get back to being one of the better teams in conference play. Marshall had an unsuccessful regular season, and the tournament didn't help as well. So Thundering Herd looking for a change of leadership, and it has it in Cornelius Jackson. So we'll see where Coach can take the team. We talked a little bit about Morehead State. That was something that came up. Of course, their coach heading to James Madison. And I think James Madison is an excellent program. If you're going to look at a job to take and you're trying to work your way up the basketball ladder, James Madison is pretty good. So Preston Spraudling leaving Morehead State to go to JMU. Texter wrote in and said that the men's team has plenty of support. We have one of the top attendants in the Sun Belt Conference. That is true. If you look at the numbers, James Madison, on average, 15 home games, average 5,280 fans. That's pretty good. Marshall, on average, 4,502 fans. That's pretty good. That's second best. Third best would be Southern Miss. I apologize. Old Dominion is the best. Marshall's third. Old Dominion has 5,761 fans on average. Then James Madison with 5,280. And then Marshall at 4,502 on average. So I apologize. Marshall with third, but still, that's pretty good. Isn't it funny? Old Dominion, Marshall, James Madison, Southern Miss. Those are the four top schools in attendance in men's basketball. James Madison, new to the league. Marshall from Conference USA, new to the league. Southern Miss from Conference USA, new to the league. Old Dominion from Conference USA, new to the league. So the new schools that came in so far, maybe not in the win-loss column ultimately, James Madison, of course, being the exception here. But attendance-wise, these have been the best schools in the league as far as attendance is concerned. So the support's there. You have some support for these programs. And how do you turn that into success on the basketball court? That's going to be a big question, because you can have support. You can have people showing up. You don't have empty arenas. So if I'm looking at trying to recruit against ULM, you can point out, hey, we have almost 5,000 show up here. You're going to have a full house. Don't get into the tarp jokes with me. I'm not here for those today. You almost have a full house, and ULM, they can only manage about 1,000 people. You go across the conference, and there are schools that they're hardly putting people in the stands. Here, it's pretty energetic on a game day. There are a lot of people showing up. So, yes, Marshall does have support. How do you translate that into wins and losses? That's going to be the big question. How do you turn that into wins and losses? And I think support is important, but you're also going to have institutional support. You're going to have a restructuring of game day operations, game day philosophy, culture, kids you bring in, transfer portal, recruiting. All of that's going to have to be addressed. Let's turn our attention to football. We'll get some of your text in. Don't worry, we'll do that. 304-396-TALK. But let's turn our attention to football as we're going to get closer and closer here to the spring game. I'll call it the spring game. It's no longer the green and white game. It's the spring game. And that's a technicality. It's because they don't have enough colors to go around. That was last year anyway. So the spring game coming up. And when I was at Marshall a few days ago, I had a chance to talk to, for a good chunk of time, actually, Marshall's secondaries coach, Bob Shoup. Now, he was in a more of an advisory role last year, so he's moved to the secondary unit. And he's been in football for a long time, so he's got a pretty good perspective on things. And I had a chance just to talk to him, and that's what you're going to hear. This isn't one of those polished radio interview packages. This is just me talking to Bob Shoup, and it's pretty conversational, and I want to give you a chance to hear a little bit of what Bob had to say as we were talking about getting ready for the upcoming season.
Oh, just to get back out there. I mean, you know, it's you know, since we played the bowl game, since we got back for winter program, and the guys really made a commitment for the 8 weeks of winter program to get stronger, to kind of develop the identity of the team. Now to go out on the field and put all that hard work to the football aspect of things is really pretty exciting.
What's the process like? You're coming off a season which was not up to the standard, and you're trying to find the identity quickly. You're trying to no longer, okay, we're trying to be competitive. You want to just be competitive. What's that process like? Coach F talked about, hey, you know, no longer are we going to, you know, it's just not good enough anymore. You know, now it's time to compete. So what has that whole process been like trying to get to that point?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, one day at a time, really. I mean, that's all we can take, can control right now. I mean, it's really about having the best possible practice we possibly can today, and then watching the film tomorrow and improving off that, and then coming back out Wednesday and then Saturday and so on and so forth, and stringing good practices along. And the weird thing is, you know, when you think about last season not being good enough or this or that or the other thing, we all understand the standard at Marshall. I mean, if there's one thing that's synonymous with Marshall football, whether it was in the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, or now, Marshall football wins. And the expectation is spot the ball, we'll play anybody, any place, anytime, like OP said last fall. But it's a new team. I mean, there's a lot of new coaches who weren't even here last year. There's a lot of new players, you know, whether it be early enrollee freshmen or players through the transfer portal that weren't here. So it's really, rather than, you know, last year wasn't good enough or this or that or the other thing, it's really about, you know, developing the identity of the 2024 version of the Marshall Thundering Herd, whether it be my position group, the safeties, whether it be the defense, whether it be the team as a whole.
What is the identity? Day one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's all the things you think of a Marshall football player. Yeah. Blue-collar mindset, hard-working, driven, no job is too small attitude. You know, spot the ball, we'll play anybody, any place, anywhere. But the rest of it's still to be determined. I mean, those are the standards of a Marshall football player. When you put on the Kelly green and white and you put the block M on your head, you know, that's what it's all about. But, you know, the identity of this team is still to be developed, and probably – will still be a work in progress at the end of spring. I mean, as we, you know, as the second portal opens and players leave and players enter and things along those lines, we probably won't know till, you know, sometime in August what the identity of this team is. But I think there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of really talented and eager players on this roster who have worked really hard in the winter and looking forward to getting back out on the Joan for practice number one today.
You mentioned transfer portal. Yeah, how challenging is that major job, or how easy is that major job?
The portal giveth and the portal taketh away. I mean, I sure wish Eli Alston was still sitting here, you know, but we're very happy and excited for him being at Miami. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, watching him go through winter program, I mean, some of the guys that we've gotten, you know, whether it be up front, Harris or Clayton, who are defensive ends that we've gotten up front who look to be players that we think can make an impact, not at my position. I coach the safeties, but in the secondary, a kid who's from West Virginia who went out to Arizona State and has come back, Isaiah Johnson. I mean, he looks to be as talented as anybody, you know, on our roster. And you look, whether it's over this year or a 2 or 3 year span, I mean, we'll probably start or play quite a bit, 6 or 7 or 8 guys on the defensive side of the ball who are transfer portal guys. I mean, JJ, you know, is a bounce back from Wake, obviously. Josh Moten from Texas A&M, Ish Ibrahim, you know, Ibrahim from Texas. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the team like that. And sometimes it's just a fresh start. It's a clean slate. It's another opportunity. And that's the challenge nowadays. The challenge is, you know, it's not the olden days. I'm in my 37th season of coaching where you watched a freshman, you know, get there, and then 5 years later, you watched him grow from being a, you know, 18-year-old boy to being a 22-year-old man. It just doesn't happen quite like that anymore. Every team and every season's, you know, different, and every team kind of creates its own identity. We're not the 23 Thundering Herd, and we're not the 22 Thundering Herd. We're the 24 Thundering Herd, and looking forward to being the best version of that group.
And it's kind of refreshing. You have a lot of new faces. You mentioned coaching, players, everything, and it's kind of refreshing. Okay, let's hit the reset button today.
For sure. And you know, I'm on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the ball, it's even greater. I mean, we've really rebuilt the quarterback, the receiver, and the O-line room, and I know Seth and Cody and those guys are really excited to work with those guys. And like I said, it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. It's a new scheme on offense. It's some subtle changes on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm just looking forward to contributing in any way that I possibly can to help Jason in the defense and Coach Huff and this team be the best that it can be in 2024.
How has the process changed? Huff talked a little bit about, you know, taking the time to, okay, let's see what works elsewhere. Maybe I need to, you know, incorporate that. Maybe I don't. You know, as far as you as well, you know, how have you progressed as a coach, you know, over the years, especially? Yeah, I know, loaded question.
I'll answer it this way with regard to Charles. I mean, I thought this Coach Huff and I have worked together at three different places prior to Marshall, at Vanderbilt and at Penn State and Mississippi State. And to watch his development as a man and as a coach has been really fun for me. You know, I'm a little older than he is, but just to watch him grow into being the head football coach at Marshall University has really been kind of cool. And, you know, in his first 2 years, the team went to bowls, and obviously in 2022 came off a 9-win season, had a highly ranked defense and did a lot of good things and got off to such a good start in 23. And then to watch the team kind of not struggle at the end, but watch him deal with those things and watch him, you know, at the end of the season, be introspective and look at himself and quality control things, say what's the program need to do? What do I need to do to grow? What's the program need to do to grow? Has really been kind of fun to watch him grow as a person and fight through those challenges and things like that. And I think he's this offseason done an unbelievable job, you know, with rallying the staff, rallying the players, and like we were talking about, developing the identity of this team, not last year's team. We aren't harping on that, but we'd be foolish not to take a look back at last season and say this is what we did well, this is what we did poorly, these are the things we need to improve upon, and we've done all that stuff in the right frame of mind and in the right mindset, and today's the first day out on the field and trying to, like I said, you know, make improvements where necessary.
As a defensive guy, you know, just how exciting is it going to be to look over at those offensive guys?
I mean, I'm glad they're on our team. You know, I've spent a lot of time getting to know Seth and the new offensive coaches, and Seth's brilliant. I mean, he really does. He has a good plan. He knows this air raid scheme inside and out. We're talking about a guy who played quarterback at Texas Tech after Cliff Kingsbury and prior to Patrick Mahomes. So I'd say he's got that it factor about him. And he's done a great job with the quarterbacks and the receivers specifically. And I'm looking forward, where they say iron sharpens iron, I'm looking forward to our guys going out there every day and competing and working hard to help the offense be better. And I'm sure they're saying the same thing about trying to help us be the best version that we can on defense.
That's my conversation with Marshall secondary coach Bob Shoup. A lot of pearls and a lot of nuggets out of that one. So hopefully next time I get an opportunity to sit down and talk to him, that we can do that again. We'll get your text in, 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. This is The Drive, ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
This is The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Our final segment for today's edition of The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. Happy Good Friday to everyone. Hope you have a wonderful Easter coming up. We'll keep our text line open at 304-396-TALK, 304-396-8255. We've got a busy schedule coming up. Basketball action continuing 7 o'clock tonight. We get things underway with the South Region in Dallas as NC State will take on Marquette. That'll be followed by Duke and Houston. Midwest region in Detroit, Purdue versus Gonzaga, then Creighton versus Tennessee. If you've never listened to our coverage, we will take you to wherever the action is, courtesy of Westwood One. Our March Madness coverage brought to you by Doghouse Beer Garden. So all the action all tournament long right here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. And for those of you who maybe venture outside of the immediate area, you can listen to our sister station as well. We'll have the games on Cat Sports 93.3 and 1340. Good day yesterday for fans of anybody but North Carolina. That one was hard. I couldn't imagine that one. But Alabama's been playing some really good basketball as of late. So the Thundering Herd in action right now in Boone, North Carolina. Took game one yesterday. So the Mountaineers go down to the Thundering Herd in the series opener. And Louisiana Monroe got the best of Marshall yesterday, 16-8. The two teams are in action as we speak now at Dot Hicks Field. So you've got a lot of action this weekend as well. Baseball will wrap up its series, and then softball will wrap up its series as well ahead of the Easter holiday. Marshall is leading right now 1-0. We're in the third over ULM, and then App State, we're in the second right now, and the Mountaineers leading the Thundering Herd, it looks like 2-1. That's the last update that I've got. But plenty of time for both teams to take a big lead or to get the lead back. Don't forget, we've got, coming up next week, we're going to have Marshall baseball. So the game is going to be on Friday. Our usual Saturday game, we usually do a Saturday game. It's going to be on Friday because we got the national semifinals coming up on Saturday. So our showcase game will be on Friday this week. And, of course, we're going to have a midweek game as well, as the Thundering Herd will be in action coming up middle of the week. And we're going to have that game for you right here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. So we got two games coming up this week. If you haven't had a chance to head over to the Jack just yet, you got a great opportunity here the next couple of days. The weather is getting nicer. So I don't know about you, but you know, it's been great to have baseball back in Huntington, but it's going to be better to have actual baseball weather. So the Herd's taking on Virginia Tech. We're going to have that game coming up on the 2nd. And then we're going to have the Texas State game on the 5th, also from the Jack. And both of those games this week coming up on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. So those are our two showcase games that we'll have this week. And, of course, in between all of that, we'll get you set for the national championship as, of course, we've got the road to the Final Four continuing here. First Final Four teams will be decided tomorrow, but more teams to make it to the Elite Eight coming up tonight. And again, 7 o'clock is going to be our airtime for all of that coverage right here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. And, of course, on our sister station, Cat Sports 93.3 and 1340. So we're in good shape. Going to have a fun weekend. And don't forget, because one, the Marshall tennis team swept Texas State 7-0 Thursday, and the Herd will take on Louisiana tomorrow at 10 a.m. So what are you doing at 10 a.m.? You're going to go out and support the Herd tomorrow. So the Herd playing host to Louisiana tomorrow at 10 a.m. How about that yesterday, though? I didn't get to that. I am sorry. I apologize to John Mercer. I did not get to that. Texas State getting swept by the Thundering Herd 7-0 yesterday in Sun Belt action. Hopefully the Herd can do it again against Louisiana. So I apologize to John Mercer for not catching that sooner. I'm not going to lie to you. John texted me earlier and said, hey, don't forget, we've got tennis coming up tomorrow. I got you, John. Don't worry. I got you covered as well. So I think we got everything covered. I hope we do anyway. So what are you planning on doing for your Easter Sunday and your weekend? You've got Marshall softball. You can go see tennis. Of course, it's the Easter holiday weekend, so that means you can go see movies as well. You can do a little bit of everything. So I hope you have a wonderful Easter Sunday. I hope you have a great weekend as well. I'm going to be back with you on Monday. I'm looking forward to it. Let's have a great holiday weekend. And, of course, remember what this season's all about. And I will be back with you on Monday. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of The Drive, ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
Transmitting in glorious FM on 94.1 W227VS Huntington. This is 930 WRVC Huntington, celebrating 100 years of broadcasting.